You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel, who's in a bar in Nashville watching
his team. Luckily, he didn't have to watch this garbage.
He's watching his team, Kentucky, against UConn for the national championship. But I'm here with Richard Pollock for the Winnipeg Jets, who were just defeated by 1-0 by the Minnesota Wild in a game that was meaningless for the Jets. The Wild have pretty much locked up their spot in the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
The Jets are resting a number of regulars. It really felt like I was watching an exhibition split squad game.
That's what it was. It was an exhibition game. It was but charged regular season prices, so the fans should be demanding their money back after that awful performance. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen. I can't believe that actually. I have friends who are as hardcore fans as you will see left the game after the second period, and I don't blame them. This was an awful game. There was no energy. There was no hitting. There was no fighting. There was no scoring chance. When did they get their first scoring chance? In the third, some point? Remember one?
The Wild had their first shot on goal 5 minutes into the first, and it was a dump in from center.
Yeah.
And everyone cheered Hutchinson for his first NHL save as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Gill, I don't know what he's doing over there. I'm sorry. I know he's coached. He's done his job coaching Houston, coaching Pittsburgh, assistant coach. But he sucks the life out of the game. But I mean, that's besides the point. It's for another day and time. The Jets mailed that one in. Oh, man. I didn't know their roster. I mean, they were icing, Michael. They were icing a consistent lineup. Halaschuk, Odell, and Setoguchi. Like,
yeah.
What? Anyhow, I mean, they have nothing else. What's Paul Maurice going to do? Who else is going to play? He's playing Carl Klingberg and Peluso. So, I mean, it's like Noel's problem. He doesn't have anybody to put in. Anyhow, this game, the players were just not good enough to be on the ice. And then you have a bunch of them on the ice together, and you're not going to win. And, no Buff, no Ladd, the whole deal. Kane, another passenger night. I mean, trying to draw penalties all night. We'll talk about him on the goal that they allowed. And, it seems like he's on his way out of town. And Blake Wheeler was engaged, and that was about it. That's the same story it's been for a while now.
Yeah,
Blake Wheeler creates chances, and nobody else does.
Right. Wheeler was the only one who really had to jump in his step. I mean, Setoguchi's been, the same he was all year. Pretty awful to watch. I mean, he's slow-footed and just nothing.
It's unbelievable.
There's nothing was going all night for the Jets. Now Minnesota, they're going to the playoffs. They got a number. They got Zach Parise.
Have you ever seen, by the way, after the game? I don't know if you saw this, Michael. You might have gone upstairs for a second. After the game, the Jets are done, and Setoguchi goes over to the Wild guys, gives them a handshake and a hug.
Really?
And like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. But isn't that like something you do in the tunnel after the game? Like, it's a tough loss. You think every loss is a tough loss. He goes over there, he's high five, he's hugging, and it's just like, I don't know, man. That guy can't get out of town quick enough.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be. I've been, throwing bets down on where he's gonna end up next season because
like probably, they talked about Soundsday. I bet you Soundsday brings him in like on a tryout contract or 1 year, 1.5 kind of thing. And
well, they brought back Scott Gomez that time when no one else would.
Yeah, you know what? Why not a reclamation project? You can play him with a center there. Who do they have for centers? They have
Pavelski,
Couture, Pavelski, Thornton, all those guys, and they can all play wing. Except for Thornton doesn't really play wing, and Marlowe can play center if they want him to, but he plays wing. I mean, they have so many guys you can put a player with who can shoot.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll find spots.
And speaking of guys who play with Joe Thornton, Danny Heatley, not in the lineup tonight.
Well,
his play has fallen off considerably.
Right. Heatley, Chichu.
Yeah, Chichu.
Setoguchi. How many guys has that guy made look good over the course? Glenn Murray? Glenn Murray had more. Heatley had some success too, but all those guys fall off a cliff because as soon as they can't get that, as soon as they lose the half a step that they had, and none of them were actually very fast, they were all poor skaters, really. They can't get to the spots. And think about how good Thornton made them look. Imagine, think about their totals without him. I mean, Healy played with Spezza before.
Right.
And Setoguchi played some good centers here in Minnesota. But at the end of the day, he makes them look like better than they are. And then this game was just, I can't tell you how boring it was. Nothing happened. What were the final shots? Final shots. After the second, I'm just going to go quickly over the shots. We'll go over the goal. First period, 6 shots for Minnesota, 7 for the Jets. Second period, 7 shots for Minnesota, 5 for the Jets. Like, are you kidding me? People paid for this.
Ilya Bryzgov, his second shutout in
Have
a row.
You,
as
it's
well.
Like, if you shoot 5 pucks to Ilya Bryzgov's blocker, you will score twice.
And the Jets couldn't do that tonight at all. They had a few chances on the power play, which did not look good at all.
No, that's, I mean, the power play is mess. It's a mess.
I mean, it's hard to judge. They're not really fielding an NHL roster
right
now. But at the same time, you're paying NHL prices to see an NHL game.
Yeah.
And the collective opinion of everyone in the press box here, and I'm sure everyone at home, was this was a bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah, it was a snooze fest. And, the one guy you can point, I think Evander Kane, you thought might have a reaction one way or another. I thought he was pretty invisible tonight. And that's kind of the story of the year, though. I mean, he's had his spurts, but hasn't been a force like we know he has the potential to be at times. Yeah. And you see him being interviewed right now. I'm interested to hear what he says, or not that interested, but
we'll see. You know, it seems like he has his spurts. He tries to get going with his legs, but his hands can't move up to his legs. And there's a few times he tried to gain the zone, he would just his feet would just slip out from under him.
And he's trying to draw penalties today, too. That's a good point, Michael. And he's playing with Little and Wheeler near the end, and they didn't do anything. So, I mean... Don't complain about his line mates tonight, right? Like,
yeah, you couldn't do that. Let's go to the goal. There was one goal this game. Minute five into the second period. Charlie Coyle, pass in front, assisted by Parise and Miku Koivu.
This goal is a... This was a just after a power play, right? Literally exactly the minute. So it's a power play goal, really. Because like 19:05 in the first...
Not officially a power play goal.
1:05, so it was exactly 2 minutes after, right?
Right.
This is a power play because the guy wasn't yet out of the box, or just was out of the box.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the Wild are doing your classic kind of triangle setup where Miko Koivu's on the right half boards on his off wing, Zach Parise is on the goal line, and Charlie Coyle's in the slot. You know, a little bit high in the slot. He's a right-handed shooter. So it's built for the play. Like this Parise, the way Parise, the whole plan in their practices, I assume, is to build for this play. And Evander Kane doesn't rotate quick enough. That's all it is. The Jets defense knew what they need to do. Evander Kane's got to rotate on the shooter. Doesn't get there in time. Wasn't moving his feet. Coyle gets a shot off. It's in. 1-0. Nice pass by Koivu. That's what he's supposed to do. Nice pass by Parise. That's what he's supposed to do. Kane has to see that play and stop the play. And he didn't. And that's it. That's the game. I mean, again, that's not blaming Kane for the whole game. I mean, the Jets just didn't have enough talent on the ice tonight to win. And Minnesota... Nothing really is, you know, if you're looking at that team going, okay, going to the playoffs, I mean, maybe they do upset somebody. I just don't see it.
Yeah, you have to think it'd have to be a lot like 2003 where they played that trap style and get lucky, win a few overtime games.
But why the hell are they playing that style?
I know you do have a lot of offensive talent. You got Koivu, Parise, Molson,
Pominville.
Those guys are all 30-goal scorers.
And I know they didn't have Granlund. That's right. And I know they didn't have Granlund tonight, who they missed. They definitely missed. But that's a lot of offense. And a bunch of guys who can skate, and they're playing, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but, you know, thank God we don't have to watch them again. Boston on Thursday is always fun to watch, because you're talking about one of the best, if not the best teams in the league. It'll be the last game of the season, so the Jets will be a little bit more ramped up, you would hope. But in any event, you get to see a great team. Tonight you got to see a good team in the Minnesota against a bad team in the Jets, and that made for... A poor game. Yeah, certainly not an aesthetically pleasing game.
You know, it was a game on a Monday night with a team that's out of the playoffs.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have the luster of Saturday night in Toronto, Hockey in Canada. It doesn't have, you know,
that's
last
right.
game of the year against the Boston Bruins.
That's right.
This is just, you know, and it felt like a regular Monday night game.
Yeah, it felt like an exhibition game.
Yeah, it felt like I was flashback in September with Michael Hutchinson starting and the Jets are in a split squad against Columbus.
Yeah. There's nothing to get. Well, that game was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing more we can add to this.
You'd be hard pressed to watch any other game in the National Hockey League this year and tell me it's any better. It's any worse than that.
The only one we could talk about, there was a game against Phoenix the Jets played here. I believe it was in December 2 years ago, maybe. That was pretty.
That 1-0 loss, was it?
Something like that. It was pretty rough.
The Tampa Columbus games right before Noel got fired were pretty terrible.
Yeah, those
were. But the game still meant something.
Yeah, and there were some goals in that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 5-2, I think maybe 6-3, 5-2.
Things happened,
right?
Yeah. They got scored on. I mean, there was pretty bad defensive breakdowns. This was just a lot of, I mean, nothing really happened.
They talk all about Minnesota. And Chuck. If Chuck Fletcher doesn't sign Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, what the heck's on the ice tonight?
Right, well, you'd think he'd find some use for that money.
Fair enough.
But
it wouldn't be that productive.
Right, Ryan Suter controlled the whole game. I mean, played 28 minutes. Guys Pronger playing that.
Yeah,
much.
I'm worried about him in the playoffs. I mean, you don't play that many minutes and not have a wear on you in the playoffs. I think that's going to be a factor. And if they line up against Anaheim,
that's true. He did play in the Olympics as well.
They line up against Anaheim, and he's got to go up because they have no other options. Their defense isn't good enough. They line up every night against Perry and Getzlaf. Ryan Suter's not going to be sucking wind in the game three.
Well, you have to think in any Western Conference first round series, someone's going to get. Either team is going to get, you know.
Well, because what's the matchup right now, right? It's right now you have St. Louis is 1, Minnesota is 7, right, if you're going to go that way, and 8 is Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So Dallas right now plays St. Louis, although Anaheim can pop over St. Louis, although Anaheim and San Jose both aren't playing that well, and then Anaheim would play Minnesota. So, I mean, Minnesota can beat Anaheim. I don't think they will beat Anaheim, but that matchup, it's like, Getzlaf and Perry are going to put that puck in Suter's corner. We'll preview this on Saturday's show. He's going to put that puck in Suter's corner, and they are going to ram him in the boards all night for seven games if it gets that far, which I don't think it does. And that's what they're going to do. And then Minnesota's going to have to defend with Brodin and the other guys they have on their roster, and that's going to be too much trouble. But we'll save that for Saturday. And I'm not going to be on the post-game podcast Thursday because I'm doing pre and post, so I guess It'll be you and
me and Ezzy, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Drew will be in a Georgia bar watching college baseball.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? That's it for the Legal Curve post-game podcast. Thanks a lot for Richard for joining me here today from the high up top the ice service here at MTS Center. The Winnipeg Jets were just defeated 1-0 by the Minnesota Wild. Stay tuned. LegalCurve.com will have all the post-game audio. Wednesday, NHL midweek with Legal Curve returns. Saturday, the Legal Curve hockey show, with a season wrap-up and playoff preview. Well, that's it. I'm Michael Rimas for Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk. And that's it for the Little Curve post-game podcast. Good night and good luck.